we'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves, and myself, Erin, from Everlearning. We're gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, whole life learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us.
And it's funny, is you're like, I'm almost picturing, so I would be curious whether you find this with kids, with your kids' ages yet, Ashley, but I certainly notice it here. It's like there's a family rhythm, but then you have all these individual, you have all these individual rhythms, which I think you're kind of describing even with your boys' social preferences. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's like circles within a big circle. And it's interesting to me too, sometimes how, you know, I tend to be pretty free flowing in lots of ways. And yet I think I was describing, you know, my daughter really does enjoy having an order to things. And so it's, you don't even necessarily have to have the same, you won't have the same type of personality as everybody in the family. So it really becomes that interplay about making sure that people have the time and space, you know, if they do want to do something more structured on a regular basis, as my daughter does, there's that time and space to do that. And yet there's, at the same time, there can be this flexibility that I think you're describing, Haley. I'm not sure I'm making much sense. I kind of know what I'm talking about, but it's just interesting. You know, I think something that my daughter really has enjoyed is the idea of courses. So not so much curriculum, but courses. So she likes to take courses, and she likes to, so let's say that something was a 12-week course. She likes to really look at that and divide her time up and think that through. And I guess what I'm saying is, even with being fairly structured, she's still very able to be flexible and just very accommodating to other people's needs as well. So it's just, it's interesting to me that you can have all these different types of personalities, but somehow you do make that work. And I think, again, I guess I'm coming back to the idea of relationship. And I think you've both said it too, when that kind of common need to be connected and respectful of one another really does override people's individual inclinations. So, you know, a really structured child will give a little bit to do something, or a lot to do something that's maybe more spontaneous, if it's either going to be, you know, make something easier for another family member, or if it's something that the family can enjoy. And vice versa, I find that maybe people that are a bit more free flowing can really respect that somebody needs that space for a little bit more clarity and structure. So yeah, it's just, it's interesting to see that kind of give and take. I'm not sure I'm making myself clear, but I might have to think a little bit more about it. But yeah, it is work. Like it is work. Like, you know, Ashley, you're describing kind of keeping that in mind about, you know, maybe it's looking at it weekly or monthly, but just always having it in mind, this will work for this child, this will work for that child. And then over time, I feel they've been able to do that for one another. And really also for my husband and I, like it becomes something that you see as kind of a skill that they can kind of do for everybody.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of, I think I said it earlier about there being a lot of consideration. There is that whole respect is such a lovely thing to see. And I think even, and that doesn't mean that we never argue or we never have issues, because things do happen, and, you know, and people react to situations, or they're feeling particularly sad themselves or tired or whatever. But I think even if that respect doesn't come immediately, quite often I know that somebody will revisit things quite often. If they know that they've been a little bit disrespectful to somebody else, then there's a lot of coming back and saying, oh, you know, I was out of order, or, you know, how did you feel about that? And they'll talk about, you know, why they did what they did, or why they didn't have the level of patience that maybe they usually have. And I think all that's been a really nice learning process as well, because obviously it does take time and effort, and that whole, you know, you're learning about yourself, but you're also learning about the other members of the family, and all that evolves over the years. But I know now, having obviously them, you know, they are older, and that is definitely something that I've noticed and that I really appreciate, because, you know, it helps me when I'm the one who's out of order. You know, I've got all those nice models of people, you know, it's just we're all, you know, helping each other, I think, to remember that, you know, sometimes somebody's having a bad day, but, you know, another time it's going to be you that's the one that's having a bad day. And so we all learn from each other about how we can, how we can repair those things, I guess. Those relationships are so important that even after the event, you know, we're often going to want to come back and, you know, apologize or talk about how we can manage it next time. So
I feel like that's what I'm modeling. So as I'm kind of holding back a laugh as you say, talk about that, Haley, because I think, oh, that's what I'm doing right now with my boys, is I'm modeling, because they lose their patience with each other too often. But sometimes it's me who I'm, you know, maybe my needs are not being met, so I lose my patience. And I've really been very open to coming to them. And I'm getting faster at it now too. I find I can calm down faster because I can be like, oh, I, you know, my needs weren't met. I'm either hungry because I didn't slow down enough to eat, or I'm tired, whatever it may be. And I quickly come to them and I say, and I'm modeling it for them, right? I'm so sorry. Mommy's really hungry. I shouldn't have spoke to you that way. That probably didn't make you feel good. It's not your fault. I'm hungry and I just need to eat, and then I'll feel better and we can carry on. And I mean, I do that often, and I'm not getting that back from them yet. They're not turning around at 8 and 6. My guys aren't yet saying, oh, mommy, I'm sorry, I hit my brother, I'm hungry. That's not happening. But I think that it does take time, and they have different personalities, and I'll just continue to model that. And I'm not doing it for the purpose of modeling it. I'm doing it because, going back to those respectful relationships, they don't deserve to be snapped at. But it also lets them see that I have needs too. We all have needs. And I think I maybe already said this, but I'm often saying to them, we choose to live our lives together, and we have to figure out how to do that, right? Like, we're three people or we're four people, and then there's the dog, and now there's the fish, and we all have needs, and we are just figuring out how to make sure all of our needs are met. But it's that having that respect for one another. And yeah, I'm learning about it just as much as they are at the same time, I think. So that's a big part of our days.
Yeah, I really feel for you, Ashley, when you say about being so tired. And I think, yeah, when I had four people, who, that whole thing about negotiating, does somebody want to go to that home ed group today, or does some, you know, or somebody else really wants to go to play with a friend that maybe somebody else in the family just doesn't get on with them so well, that whole negotiation thing is obviously quite different now, because there's only one person really who needs me to get her to places. You know, all the others could, you know, well, they couldn't always get the bus around here because there might not be a bus that goes, but you know what I mean, there's definitely a lot less people on a daily basis to think about trying to negotiate or compromise, or and they've had years and years now of this whole experience of doing that as well. So it definitely Of course, it definitely grows. Yeah, I think, but I do feel for you, Ashley, because I remember it is, yeah, it's so tiring. And
sometimes by the afternoon, I feel so guilty, which I don't know why, because I rarely think I have to set up activities. But every once in a while, I get in my head like, oh, you know, it's been a while since I've set like a science experiment or something fun, right? And I think I'm just so tired by the afternoon. And I think, but what have I done? I mean, of course, making sure everybody has food and helping them get ready for the day, and you're due. And it's, but a lot of the mental energy, I think, is just that, is helping them figure out how to spend the days together. And some days they need that a lot more than other days. Or I should even say, sometimes it's like a week or two where they need a lot of it. And then we have a couple weeks where it's a better stretch and it's a bit easier. And I find that's the way it goes in our house, where it flows. But I often wish I had more children, because I love them. I love little people and I love kids. But at the same time, I don't know where I would find the energy, because you just think about it. You're trying to help everybody get their needs met, and it's tiring. So thank you, Haley. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it is tiring. And it, you know, I'm thinking, Ashley, when you're talking about feeling hungry and coming back to them and having that conversation, and how over time, I think, because I remember those days too, when they're young and you are, you're kind of reflecting back, you're apologizing, but you're also reflecting back a little bit, not, I mean, I also probably had moments where I was trying to make an excuse for myself, but hopefully in my better moments, I'm reflecting back a little bit about the why. You know, I forgot to eat. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed about some things that we have happening that we have on tonight. And I don't feel like we're, you know, I'm having trouble getting everything together. So I'm a little edgy. And I think that over time, that kind of reflecting back around how we're feeling in the moment, it catches on at some point. You know, like, I find that my kids are all pretty intuitive now. They kind of know when I'm going to be not necessarily triggered toward them, but, you know, they know that for me, if I'm trying to get out of the house, I need some physical space. It's just really helpful for everybody. If I have a little room, you know, to kind of get myself together, or they can sense, I think, if it's just been a stressful few days. You know, it has been a stressful few days the last couple of weeks, just with illness and a number of things happening. And it was funny, because I was just trying to think about what we were going to be eating tonight. And my husband was like, oh no, you know, our oldest child's actually treating us tonight, so I don't even have to make supper tonight. So he's, you know, he's ordering in a bunch of food. And, you know, I know part of that is his way of just realizing there's just been a lot going on, and so he's just going to do that. And I think that that's just so lovely. But I think it's connected to that idea of just being honest sometimes about our limitations and why we're edgy and snap sometimes. And yeah, and it is, you know, when you're talking about, you know, getting partway through the day and thinking like, why am I tired? What have I done? And I think that's part of this idea around with unschooling. Well, you know, you're just letting the kids do what they want. Why would you be tired? And it's that misunderstanding, I think, of there actually is so much planning. There is so much planning, but it's really, and it's not just planning, it's planning and adjusting. It's so I think for any homeschool parent, there's planning, and that's tiring to a point for anybody. But I think here it's like you are planning, but you're also, it's like you're using two parts of your brain a lot. You're keeping organized, and you're also keeping flexible. It's a little bit of an interplay for me, at least, between those two. And for me too, I think you're really leaning into your kids' interests. So there's a certain amount of energy that goes into becoming engaged in that. You know, I've used this example before with my daughter's choir. It was a choir that there was a fair bit of parent involvement as far as fundraising and just on the management end of things. And so it's kind of like, okay, you know, yeah, this is something she wants to do. We'll add this to our plate. And then in order to do that, you kind of really lean into it, But then when they shift gears or it stops, you have to kind of, you know, you have to kind of flex again. So I do find that with, when I think about how the flow and the rhythm of our weeks go, it's a lot of, really embracing what they want to do, but not so much that we can't let go when they shift interests. Like, it's kind of a catch 22 in a lot of ways, I think.
It is. It's a lot. No, I really appreciate you saying that. So I think there will be a lot of other people who really find that good to hear. Because I think a lot of people can probably relate. Oh, and it made me think of one other thing. I think it's escaping me. No, I lost my train of thought. I'll let you know if it comes back.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. And it makes me think, I mean, one of the things we talked about, I think, was just around how our rhythm changes over the years and just even our role in organizing it. And I'm curious for either of you or both of you, like, again, if you are a traditional homeschool parent, I mean, we hear a lot about it this time of year, people going through curriculum catalogs and making decisions based on, maybe they're basing the year ahead on what they've seen working and not working the year that's just gone, you know, that they've just finished. And I think parents spend a lot of time, I know they do, you know, researching resources and figuring things out and really kind of putting together a schedule and a plan. Most more traditional homeschool families that I know are still quite flexible and quite, you know, pretty child focused as far as really wanting to be making decisions that are in line with their particular child, or if there's multiple kids, really looking at what works. So I think it's a very thoughtful process. But I think the benefit is there's still a, whether you're using curriculum or kind of however you're doing it, you're kind of curating the schedule. You're taking into consideration individual personalities, but you're kind of curating your year ahead. If you've just put a bunch of money into something, that's kind of your plan. I don't know. So then I was thinking, like, what is my, I don't know that I could put a ratio to it. But I'm like, how much planning do I do as far as how our weeks kind of unfold versus how much is a wait and see? And how comfortable am I with either of those things? Because so often I find when I have put really, I've put plans in place based on my kids, I'll think, oh, this would be great. You know, this would be something they would be interested in. And almost always there's a detour from it anyway. So it kind of feels like a little bit of wasted energy sometimes. But then other times I do find that I can realize that we've gotten into a little bit of a rut or a bit of a stale zone. And I'll think, I haven't been generating as much or bringing as much forward as maybe I did at another time. Or, so I'm just interested if either of you have thoughts about that, that kind of balance between, if we look at the rhythm of our day, like, or even strewing to make it a little bit more concrete. So how much do we strew, or how much do we suggest, or how much do we plan versus kind of watching how things unfold?
I think it varies, but that is when we were talking again about being tired, and I was thinking a lot of that, that emotional effort and energy, the kind of being attentive and observing what's happening, that's using a lot of resources, isn't it? It's very much you know, that whole sort of critically analyzing what's happening. And we do that kind of not in a very formal way, but it's just a natural thing that happens, isn't it, that you and then you adjust that kind of idea of, do I need to, yeah, would it be good if I could kind of offer a bit more outdoor time? Or yeah, we used to do a lot of, when my guys were younger, I used to do a lot of invitations to play, you know, thinking about setting up something for the morning. That used to be when we had lots of early risers. That was something that used to be quite a lot of fun, but also a lot of, you know, sometimes there's a lot of effort involved in that, isn't there? And it is hard sometimes, isn't it, when you put a lot of effort into things and you've thought I've really thought about what you're into, and then nobody's interested. And it's kind of finding peace with that is something that we have to work on, don't we? Because it is a kind of a natural thing to think, oh, I really thought you'd like that, and you don't. And there's, you know, that whole disappointment and, finding peace with it, I think, is another bit of energy, isn't it, that we need to find from somewhere. And that's something that we can definitely, from experience, I guess, you begin to, be able to let that go a lot more, and the more times, I suppose, that you see the whole thing about learning happening all the time and everywhere, and the more we're not so attached to the one thing that we've strewn and they're not interested in. I guess over time you build up that bank, don't you, of knowing that there are many other things that they're learning from, and we you don't get so attached. But I definitely feel that thing, Erin, about when activities change and then you there are so many other things that might have a knock-on effect for you, aren't there? And learning to come into terms with those things. It's definitely an interplay, that thing between, how much do you let things go with the flow and how much do you try and bring into the days yourself. I think I'm getting tired now. Sorry, I'm rambling.
What? No. That all makes sense. Yeah. I mean, Ashley, your guys are younger still. So there's probably for you, maybe a little bit more direct. Like I'm thinking when my kids were that age, you're still introducing them to a lot of what the options are in life. Right. So until they've done some of those first visits to museums or zoos or whatever, there's still that introducing component, I think, a little bit when they're younger.
Yeah, I can feel it a lot right now. I think too, because of the pandemic. So I wasn't able to offer much during that because so much was closed. So I feel very much at the beginning of figuring that out. And, you know, I will say to them, like, well, what do you want to do today? And I'm not at all surprised that I kind of get blank looks back because, I mean, this morning I said, what do you guys want to do today? And my one guy said, I want to play Minecraft with you. So I was, okay, we can do that. And my other guy was really just like, and he said, well, I want to get a milkshake. So I said, okay. So, I mean, that's all fine too. But I think a lot of times that's just it. I'm still really introducing them to what those options are so that they can say, oh, I really am in the mood for this. And that's coming, but it takes time. I thought about so much with everything you guys were just saying. I really appreciated, Erin, how you actually gave me language to something that I've been experiencing a little bit in the moment, but off and on during the last couple of years. And that's, I think you called it the stale zone, and you might've put another word in there too, but just those times where you're like in a rut, stuck in a rut. And I was like, yeah, we can get into those. And I find those can be really tough for me because I don't get too attached to, I mean, I've never been attached to a curriculum for them. I learned very early on with my first that, you know, if I were to spend the money and offer a curriculum, because it was something that was kind of like, well, we have to do this, it was a no for him. I couldn't offer it as much as an invitation and just have it there for him to stumble across. It was like, let's sit down and do this together. And he's like, well, not on my terms. I don't think so. And I'm not going to battle him over it because, again, it goes back to I put the relationship first. So it's the same when it comes to those strewing things and those invitations. And it's taken me time to learn, what do I have the energy to put together and leave for them with no expectation? Because I know that I'm not going to battle them. And I even know with my one that if I'm like, oh, this, right, he'll be like more resistant. They really need to stumble it on their own. And I only have so much energy. So it's been really, but then we get stuck in those ruts where if I haven't been, I guess, more intentional on strewing things. But even like, actually, Haley, going back to what you were saying a while ago about table time, we never had that because my one guy, I don't know if he resists table time or if he just, I mean, he likes to be on the floor a lot more. Even, I mean, he's eight now. He's still like, if I put something out, I don't leave it on the table because it will not get touched. But if I put it down on the floor, I don't know if he feels like it's not set up or he just, I think a lot of it is he likes to be down on the floor to do things. So it's learning all of those things, like how to strew for your own kids, what, not just what to strew, but how to strew it, where to strew it. And then, so a couple things, like one thing, it's not so much like a, you know, I used to do like more elaborate play invitations that looked really nice. Those didn't get touched as often and they took so much energy that I hardly ever do those, because it's not meeting their needs and it takes up a lot of my energy. So sometimes it's, when we get stuck in the rut, it's more so like more read alouds. I go back to that. Like, let's, you know, we've gone a week or two without a read aloud, like a novel that we can, you know, read a couple chapters every day. And I bring that back and that really helps. Or we've stopped with the podcast for a week and we need to bring, so I fall back on those things a lot. And I don't know if that's necessarily what everyone would consider strewing, but I fall back on those. And then the other thing I was thinking is, like my one guy is really like a mover and a shaker and kind of on the go. So like going outside is great. Like making sure we're outside, whether it's a hike or just the beach, a playground where he can move around. And we actually got this past winter when it was really cold out, memberships to an indoor trampoline park, which we hadn't done before. And that brought so much value to our days. And it really met both their needs, but especially my one guy. Parkour is another thing that he would really love, but we don't have a like local indoor parkour place or whatever they're called. So like thinking about bringing those things in and introducing those new ideas to them. We were able to do, you know, we've gone to the zoo now that's available. Cause we weren't able to go to like, I don't know what it was because he would have been like four at the beginning of the pandemic, my youngest. And he was like, I want to go to a museum. I really want to go to a museum. And I was like, they're closed. We can't go. And so we've been able to do that. And it's like what you said, Erin, it's just right now spending a lot of time exposing them to the different things, having an idea of what they might be interested in, but not knowing for sure. So you're spending the money to try it, or you're taking the time to go and do it. And you know, when maybe one likes it and the other one doesn't, it's like you just accept it for what it is and not put so much pressure, I think, on what these things are, because right now they're so young that, you know, of course their interest in what they are into will change over time, but how do they really say what they want to do in this week or this month? Or often I'll be like, what do you guys want to do this summer? Let's make a list. And they're like, well, we've done strawberry picking the last 3 years. So that's usually the first thing they say, but they're like, I don't know. We want to have fun and play. So it's a lot of, like putting those things out for them. I think that was pretty much everything I wanted to say about that.
I think,
Go ahead.
Erin, I was just going to say about the whole strewing thing. One of the things, you know, talking about how things have evolved over time, the amount of stuff that they strew for each other and they strew for me now is just, that's changed. Yeah, because maybe at one point it was me that was the one that was thinking about introducing them to things. And now because they're so much older, they're often doing that for each other and doing that for us as well, which is, you know, so lovely. So all that investment that you're doing now, Ashley, is all money in the bank, isn't it, for later on? But funnily enough, you say about table time, and that evolved over the years, and actually table time is kind of a shortcut now to just hanging out doing projects together, because although table time started off being our dining room table, it then evolved into, you know, we do table time on the, it, you know, in the garden, or kind of in, my son's got a sofa in his bedroom. So that is, he's got a sofa and he's got a table. So that often is, and a really nice rug. So people will often gravitate to his room because it's really cozy and people can be in, you know, in a shared space, but in their little zone doing their own thing. So our kind of table time has, you know, doesn't always involve a table, which sounds really strange, but.
So Haley, I completely agree about the sort of, I would just call it family strewing. Over the years, it just becomes, and it, you know, it's not even that they would even think of that word. It's just sharing ideas. And sometimes it's very small. It's like, for me, it's a lot of people alerting me to a certain type of bird they just noticed flying by. And if you go now, you can probably see it. Or, you know, for my husband, it might be, we would all, if we notice a certain type of car, it's, but there's a genuine excitement and hope that that person's going to have a chance to glimpse it or whatever. Or if we were in a vehicle together, I find people will point things out to people. And to me, that's all a form of strewing. It's just that sharing of ideas. And it's so, yeah, it's just so genuine of really seeing something and thinking, oh, this would be interesting for so-and-so. So I, my experience has been the same, Haley. So yeah, Ashley, I think all of that is, it's all in the works, right? It's, yeah. What was the other thing I was going to say was just around, you know, Haley, you're talking about people maybe working on projects in different areas. Like it doesn't have to be at a table. And I was just even thinking, just even how we think about, like when we're talking about kind of open time, it doesn't mean open time where there's not something really defined happening. I think, I mean, I was going to say, especially as kids get older, but I think young kids, you know, if they're really engaged in building with Lego or they're creating a make-believe story of some kind, that's a project, right? Like that's something that they're working on and they're doing. So that's also interesting to me too, is, you know, we talk about how it's just so really hard to define what does a day look like. And part of that is because a lot of the work that they're doing, a lot of the projects that they're working on, we don't know every piece of it. Like for me, at least, even when my kids were young, if I looked at their play was often much more detailed than I would ever have been able to plan or curate. Or so I'm not even sure exactly all the different things that they're integrating and using. And certainly it would be the same now. If I look at the things that they work on and are engaged in, it's, I mean, it's certainly they're open to talking about it and I might be part of facilitating materials, but it's so self-directed as far as what they're doing, but it is work. Like it is, there is energy being put into it and lots of thought. Yeah. So I just, that just kind of came to mind around, yeah, it's open time, but it's very focused and it's very purposeful to them. The other thing, the original thing I was going to say too, just around if we kind of find that things are in a little bit of a rut, I've really been open to, you know, noticing if there's something that we haven't done for a while. One of the things that I can't remember, I've written about it somewhere, but it was this idea of kind of a day away and meandering. I think it was originally, I kind of got the word meander from one of Sue's posts, but I realized one of my sons was going to get his license and he had managed to get an appointment out of town because it's just been really booked up and whatever. But it's really turned into this day of kind of little adventure. So just, you know, stopping at a bakery here, stopping there. We stopped at a family cemetery and spent some time there. Just all these different sort of, I mean, it was almost like lollygagging around really, but it was such a rich experience. And I thought, oh yeah, we used to do a lot more of this. And so just being open to those moments where you kind of get that familiar feeling and think, oh yeah, we don't do this anymore. It would be interesting to see if there's some ways to kind of bring this back into our life a little bit. But Yeah. And I think that's it for me. Sorry, all those thoughts at once.
No, that was wonderful. I just want to say that you reminded me actually when you were talking about how when we do get stuck in a rut, I don't think I mentioned this, that that's another thing I fall back on is going out, just getting out of the house, not necessarily to like a zoo or museum, but just going somewhere like a local beach with really no plans other than to just go out. I find that even though it can be hard to get out the door sometimes, even later in the morning, maybe they don't want to leave. I find a lot of our days go better if we go out for an hour or two to a different park or a walk somewhere or a local beach, like something really low key, just us. And we just go out and get outside and fresh air and just away from the house because we are in the house a lot. And then we come back and those days, those afternoons after that seem to go a bit smoother. I learned that a little while ago, probably because like during the pandemic when so many things were closed, to go out, you just had to go outside somewhere. And we would go out a lot more in the winter actually then too. We spent a lot more time learning how to dress warm enough that we could stay out longer and not to be too cold because it was worth it. So going out helps a lot. And then the other thing I wanted to just quickly add in too with what you were saying about like how we spend time in the house made me really think about how that fits in and how we spend our day. So I find like we have a two-story house and then we have a finished basement too. So I find that I even said today, I said, we were kind of like, nobody knew what to do. And we were getting the I'm bored feelings and I could tell we were getting tired. And I was like, you know what? We haven't played up on the top floor yet. Why don't we go up there? Because sometimes it's just a change of scenery and they've got different toys up there. So it's just moving up there and it's just spending the time thinking about that. And it's a simple thing to do. I just have to think about it and say, well, let's go play in the basement. We haven't done that all week. And then that can be enough to get things going again. And then I really appreciated what you said about their play at these ages, because I found this year, I got a little bit caught up in this idea of project-based learning. And I think I was still stuck in the, how do we spend our days with a little bit of what looks like learning. And, you know, in homeschooling, we hear about this project-based learning, which I love. But I was so stuck in a project looking like your typical school project. I mean, even thinking open-minded with that, it didn't have to be paper and pencil or something, but it was still very school-minded. So when you said that, Erin, about like how they play with their Lego, because my one guy is Lego or Connects, like building things. And then my other guy, they both do imaginary play, but my other guy loves to spend time like reenacting or creating up scenes and characters and stuff. So, you know, 10 years ago, I would have looked at kids doing that and thought, oh, that's wonderful that they're playing. That's nice. And now when I look, I just think about all the different things they're learning. So it's that idea that play is their work. That's enough. Which I think just gives kind of that, I don't know, permission, I guess, to just be at ease with it and know that when there is so much of that unstructured time and free time for them to play, that there really is so much value in that. And that they're learning so much through that. And then listening to you guys talk, like I realize that will change and that will evolve as they grow. So that I just appreciated you saying it was so perfect. The two examples you gave too, because it was so fitting with my guys.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, those were two big things here too, especially the imaginary play and all the props. Like props that wouldn't normally, I just would come in and I'd be like, wow, things would be all over, but so purposeful. Mm-hmm. So purposeful. Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, does anybody else have anything else? Any other thoughts coming to mind? No?
No.
No, we're good. Okay. Well, this was fun. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like every time I chat with people, I get new ideas and I kind of just wished I'd been listing as I've gone, but no, I think it's just really interesting. And especially with the different ages, to kind of look at how all that can play out. So, well, thank you. And I guess Haley, it's definitely night for you.
It is. Yeah.
Yes.
been lovely chatting with you though.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad everybody's you're still awake, Haley, and I guess we're heading into evening too, Ashley, so mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and maybe helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. I, Erin, can be found at Everlearning, and Ashley can be found on Instagram at Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.